This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, November 2, 2022, The Remembrance of All Souls, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who will hear will live. For the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Wonder not at this. It's our Lord's words when he is speaking of things to come, things that have to do with the dead. Wonder not at this. We can't help but to wonder about these things, but what our Lord is saying is not to think about them or not to ponder these things, but don't get all caught up in things that we don't know about. This is the faith. I say quite frequently, the more you deepen your faith, the more you will realize you don't understand about it. The closer you get to our Lord Jesus Christ, the farther away from him you really realize you are. This should not be intimidating. It should not be a negative thing. It should make us just appreciate that we plumb the depths of something that we do not understand and we will never understand. This is just the reality of things. This is what makes our faith real. The mysteries of our faith, not being able to explain everything to everybody, as is the case with some. Yeah. I've met a lot of people in my life that can explain the Trinity to you, okay? This is just the way they are. They think they can explain everything. That's not the faith. The faith is mysterious. The faith has things that we will wonder about, but our Lord, again, he's not telling you not to appreciate the wondrous nature of our faith, but don't get all caught up in trying to either explain away or to not embrace something just because you don't understand it. Today, this particular day on the Feast of All Souls, why do we do what we do? We do this because we have to understand that the souls in purgatory need our prayers. Now, this has been the teaching of your church for all time. Now, unfortunately, within the past 60 or so years, we hear, I have heard clerics. Well, we used to believe that purgatory. No, we don't believe it. Yes, we do. If you're a Catholic, you have to believe it because it's de fide. It is of the faith. There is not a whole lot that we understand about what goes on in this place that we refer to as purgatory. But nonetheless, it is a Christian truth. And just because we don't understand what goes on there or what the situation is, we have to understand that it exists. What we have to do is, our Lord said, don't wonder at it, but appreciate something that goes on. Because when we talk about purgatory, oh, how horrible that is. You know, somebody dies and then they have to go to a place where they're suffering before they go to heaven. That's not correct. Yeah, it is. It shows God's mercy. It shows God's mercy because the only people that can inherit heaven are perfect people. And I'll speak for myself, but I kind of guess that most people in this world do not die in a state of perfection. Okay, so what happens when you die and you're not in a state of perfection? What happens when you die and there are still sins for which there are temporal consequences? What happened? Again, can we explain in detail what happened? No, we just know that something in God's grace happens there. We are beneficiaries of his grace even after we've lived this entire life and breathe our last. If we're not perfect, he still does everything he can to fix us up. to get us into heaven. Because this is that whole, you know, when we talk about purgatory, we talk about what we understand about, we have to understand when it comes to things of death, we have to embrace what we do know. That we live in this world of an already not yet situation. We are already saved by our Lord Jesus Christ, but not quite yet. This is what the scriptures teach us. One of the readings that you can do for the masses of the dead and the new rite is from Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 really speaks to this already not yet thing. And these are the words of the Holy Spirit through St. Paul. Christ has died for us, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God. I always say, pay close attention when you read any part of scripture. Pay attention to what it says. It says, being now justified. That means Christ has died for our sins. You remain in a state of grace. You keep up on where you should be with your sacraments, and you are justified. You are looked upon as righteous by God because of the merits of Jesus Christ. Being now justified, you are justified. But he doesn't stop there. And by his blood shall we be saved. That's future tense. Shall we be saved? We are already saved, but we will be saved to the uttermost. And that's just not, because this is his grace, not just what we do or don't do in this world, but how when we expiate those things that are still consequences to us when we get to the other side. This is his grace and mercy. But like I said before, I guess to coin a colloquial term for it, we got to go with what we know. How do we appreciate that? How do we embrace this? How do we approach it? St. Augustine talks about the services we do for the dead. And St. Augustine says, carrying out these offices for the dead, these dead which are to rise and live forever, is a kind of witness to the resurrection. What we do for the dead is because we appreciate the fact that they are going to rise to eternal life. This is why we do the things that we do. Your Protestant friends like to talk about the Day of the Dead. I've heard it myself so many times, it makes me nauseous. You know, they think that they can pray the dead out of hell. No, we don't. No Catholic has ever said that. No Catholic ever would believe such a thing. You cannot pray people out of hell. Once you breathe your last, you are standing before the particular judgment seat of Jesus Christ. That's you and him. This is not the general judgment, that great white throne where everybody's there. This is you as an individual, the particular judgment. When you breathe your last, you are particularly judged, and you know immediately whether you're going to go to heaven or go to hell. This is that whole story that our Lord Jesus Christ gives about the rich man and Lazarus. Okay, as soon as they die, they know where they're going to go. If you go to purgatory, you're going to heaven. It's not a waiting room where God decides, well, I don't know about this one here. He can hang out in purgatory and I'll decide in a few hundred years whether he gets to go to heaven or not. That's not the case. You go to purgatory, you're going to heaven. Some spend a very, very little time there. Some spend a whole lot of time there. Praise God, even if you spend a whole lot of time there. Is it uncomfortable? Uncomfortable. Is it painful? Is it suffering? Yes. That's why we call that third of Christ's body, the church suffering. There's the church militant, us, the church suffering, the souls in purgatory, and the church triumphant, the saints who have the beatific vision. Okay, but this whole idea of this church suffering, this intermediate state, is de fide. It's what God has taught us. He hasn't given us great details about it. Why? Why did he give us details? You don't need them. It might scare some people to death. It might make other people presumptuous. St. Paul got to go to heaven before he died. Pay attention to your scriptures. St. Paul got to go to the heaven where we all want to go before he died. And then when he came back, he was forbidden by the Lord to say anything about it to anyone. And all we, even he was like, I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. I don't know what was going on with it, but I've been forbidden to tell what I saw. All right, why? Why should he tell everybody about heaven? Because there are probably a lot of people who'd want to get there too soon and take it upon themselves to do so and they wouldn't wind up there. This is the reality of why he lets us know some things and doesn't let us know other things. He knows us better than we do. But this whole idea of this intermediate state is de fide. It's scriptural. I used to dabble in, with a group of Presbyterians. And these were hard case Presbyterians. In their Westminster Confession of Faith, there's a whole chapter on the intermediate state. And the whole description was what we refer to as purgatory, just under a different word, because of course they couldn't say purgatory because that'd be Catholic. Okay, but they talk about an intermediate state between when you die here and the final judgment. This is just a reality. This is what, even they talk about it. Just don't use the words. Purgatory is de fide. Old Testament, New Testament, we know from the Old Testament, intertestamental writings, 2 Maccabees, that the Maccabees prayed for the dead. And not only the dead, not the holy dead, they were praying for guys who had died with idols in their pockets. They were praying for idolaters, just in the hope that their prayers and offerings may be heard by God to relieve these souls that had died in battle with idols in their pockets. So we have it before the New Testament. In the New Testament, we have Corinthians that tells us that our works in this world, whether they be good or evil, are going to be tried by fire. Where's that? Okay, where's that going to go on? Again, I don't know. Well, here you go. It's not happening here unless somebody burns you up. And it's not going to happen in heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and everybody misses it when it's like the most up-in-your-face purgatory passage that there is, and people miss it because he's talking about the unforgivable sin, so everybody's all caught up on that, what that might be. The unforgivable sin, what is it? Well, if you're worried about it, you haven't committed it, because people who commit the unforgivable sin, there is no chance of redemption. So if you're worried about your redemption, you haven't committed that. But when he's talking about it, he says that sin cannot be expiated, just matter-of-factly, it cannot be expiated in this world or in the next. Jesus matter-of-factly talks about being able to expiate sins in the next world. Now, if you can't get into heaven with any sin, where can that happen? Next life, but not in heaven, hence purgatory. And the church has always done it. It's not something come up with. Constantine came up in the 4th century. When he corrupted the Catholic Church. Tertullian in the 2nd century talks about the worship that's done at the time and the prayers and suffrages that they make for the dead, particularly the martyrs. So this stuff is scriptural. It's tradition of the church. It's the consistent magisterial teaching of the church consistently, and it's throughout the church's entire being. So again, we got to know what we know. We know that this is what the church teaches. And why does the church teach it? Because it's part of the deposit of the faith. This starts in scripture, the tradition of the church, and the magisterial teaching of the church. So this is why we pray for the dead. It benefits them. God has given us the power to do so. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Okay, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm not going to let people make up some stuff that's not true and then teach the church that for millennia. He's God. He's in control of everything. He's not going to let that happen. So he's given us the power to pray these prayers in every Mass. It's just not on All Souls Day. Not just on All Souls Day. At least once a month in this parish, we have a Mass during the week. It's usually the second Friday, if nothing takes precedent. Usually the second Friday of the month, we have a Mass for the repose of the souls in purgatory, because it's the obligation of the church to pray for the souls of the dead. It's her obligation. And I know, before people come here, I've never seen that before. Yeah, I know. Okay, it doesn't make it right. This is our obligation as Christians, is to do suffrages for the dead. But not only that second Mass on the second Friday, but also every single Mass. We always hear that part of the Mass, the memento of the dead, when we pray specifically for the dead. You should be prepared. That should be one of the huge things that you're doing before Mass starts, is to think of who you know and everybody knows somebody that's dead, of who you know and to whom you are specifically going to present before God with that intention during the memento of the dead. Those who have gone before us, signed with the sign of faith. Those say, signum fide. What is that? Baptism. Baptism is a sign of faith. And it's not the sign because you got water sprinkled on you. It's the Holy Trinity's very presence and being that is infused into you at your baptism. You bear that sign of faith. And as long as a person bears that sign of faith, there is hope for them. There is hope for them. Are you guaranteed because you pray that you're going to get to heaven and see a person? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But again, St. Augustine, when he was talking about this whole thing, he says, it's better to pray for, maybe your loved one or the person you know is in hell. Because there are many souls in hell. Maybe they're there. You pray for them anyway. Because we don't know what went on this side. And St. Augustine says, it's better to pray a prayer that is superfluous than it is not to pray for a soul who could benefit from it. We don't know. It doesn't matter if Aunt Josephine didn't do this, do that. She never darkened the door of a church after her baptism, and she lived to be 105. We don't know what went on in Aunt Josephine's heart right before she died. God works like that sometimes. Not often, but sometimes. The thief on the cross. How many people you thought knew that guy passed by that cross and go, yeah, he's getting his right now, and he's going to get it even worse here shortly. And what did he get? You will be with me today in paradise. He didn't go to purgatory. He just followed Jesus up to heaven. It proved a point. This is the reality of the mercies of Christ for those who bear the sign of faith. And it even doesn't necessarily have to be water baptism. It can be the baptism of intent. That was what was going on with the thief on the cross. He didn't have the opportunity to be baptized, but he made a profession of faith. Is better than what most of us probably have made and continue to make, because he really meant it, obviously. These are the ones for whom we pray. The church has always done that. People of God always pray. And it's not a matter of he's got to answer you for that, because he's God, he knows what he's going to do. He knows how long a soul's got to stay in purgatory, but he also wants to hear from us the suffrages for them. It's always been that way. The Old Testament. How many times you read in the Old Testament where the wrath of God's of hanging over the Hebrew people again because they've done this, that, or the other thing, and whoever's the leader at the time, Moses, Jacob, all these guys, they sit there and they, Lord, remember the promises that you made. Like God said, they go, oh yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot. That's not the deal. We're not, oh yeah, I'm glad you brought that up to me. And no, he wants to hear it from the people. Because when the people let them know that they appeal to him and the promises that he made, this is what we do in Mass. We appeal to him because these people bore the sign of faith. They bore the mark of the Trinity on their very souls because of their baptism and their confirmations. He knows that. And he wants to hear it from us. This is how he works. This is why, we pray. Why do we got to pray? Because the scriptures teach us that he knows what we need before we pray for it. That doesn't negate your responsibility and his mandate that you pray. That whole thing. Well, why? Ask him when you get there. This is our faith. It's mysterious. We just, as I said before, go with what we know. We know we're supposed to pray for them. So let's pray for them. And because it's efficacious. Because even in their sufferings, no matter how long they may be, even in their sufferings, the souls in purgatory, they know where they were saved by Christ Jesus. They know it. They know they're going to heaven. That's really got to be one of the worst parts about that whole thing, aside from the whole suffering deal, is to know you're going to go to heaven, but not to be able to get in there yet. This should be overwhelming to think of in that kind. I always say, always use the analogy like that room back there, glass doors. Can you imagine if you had a deceased loved one and you could see them through the glass doors, but you couldn't get to them to hug them? That would be so horrendously heart-wrenching not to be able to get. That's a soul who wants to get to the beatific vision of Blessed Trinity and can't get there yet. This is what's going on here. We've got to help them out in every way we possibly can. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.